Chili Effect is sponsored by WallStreetWindow.com and listeners like you.
And now the most underrated voice in all media, Chuck O'Chelly.
April 7, 2023, allegedly, according to that thing we call a calendar, and this is the show you were looking for. If you're hearing us live, it's Friday night, and it's just a little bit after 8 p.m. Eastern. I meant to go to air on time, but had a little trouble hooking things up. Anyway, I'm broadcasting in mono tonight, too, which I just got information on. I don't know why, but that's all right. It's not music, so it doesn't need to be in stereo exactly. We are going through two channels, but apparently mono. No stereo separation this evening. I'll fix that after the show. Anyway, it is the Friday night call-in show, so my co-host B. Pete is with me, and because of the delay getting on air, we already have two others joining us on the call. So I'm going to first get to B. Pete, ask him how he's doing, after I give you guys the numbers ad nauseum, as I usually do, and give you a chance to join on in. It's been a weird week. Who knows what anybody wants to talk about? I'm sure somebody wants to discuss some of the nonsense in the news or what have you. I tried doing a news blast with Mike Swanson last night. Results were weird. But we also talked a little bit about stuff on the LBJ tapes, etc. And if you didn't bother, which it was really funny, I got a message earlier today, somebody sending me the recordings of LBJ talking to J. Edgar Hoover. Now, the funny thing is, they're sending me these recordings telling me I need to listen to them. After they listened to the show, they didn't listen to the third segment. Because once Mike was gone, you guys heard commercials for a couple of minutes, and then boom, I played those tapes. So, I played a couple of them from the 25th and the 29th, and I was trying to figure out what I had transposed in my mind and all that. So there's like 20, 30 minutes of me playing clips of LBJ talking to J. Edgar Hoover. Anyway, this person didn't even know it, and they're trying to tell me, you need to listen to these. And I'm like, I did listen to them, and you would have too had you listened to the rest of my show. Anyway, that is what it is. Like I said, Friday night, you can join into the conversation by doing what? Calling in 319-527-5016. That's the number to call, 319-527-5016. And as I did say, I got my co-host B. Pete with me, who I had a little trouble connecting with for some reason. Skype has been a bit strange this week, apparently. had some difficulties getting a hold of Chris the other day. Anyway, we've been a little skimpy on the live shows this week again, but next week that all changes. So that's the way that is. So let me get to everybody, and starting with my co-host, and I've already gotten a caller on the line, 319-527-5016. You could join that caller at any time, and also you can reach out to me, charles.ocelli on Skype, which somebody else did. So hang on, I'll introduce them after I ask B. Pete, how you doing this week, man?
Doing pretty good. It's been another hectic week, and looking forward to a weekend off, even though it's going to rain for the majority of it, but happy Good Friday to everybody, and happy Passover, and Easter's around the corner. I'm ready to go eat some peeps.
Yeah, there you go. All that is true. It is Good Friday, isn't it? Anyway, don't know exactly what's good about it. I can make all sorts of jokes, but I'm not going to. Some things were open today. Some things were not. I like Mike Swanson's little headline from this morning, which, you know, I get all my news emails and stuff before I even crack my eyes open. I start with that stuff. And what is at the top of the Wall Street Window email for this morning, which you can sign up for free over there? Stock market casino closed for today. Good Friday. So that was that. And he does a lot of other news stuff, and maybe we'll get to that soon. But we've got callers already, B. Pete. So you ready to start tackling them?
Yeah, bring them on in.
All right. Well, they're already on the line, but they've been very, very courteous thus far because I got them on the line before we even went to air. Got Captain Trips on the Skype. So how you doing tonight, Captain?
I'm doing well, gentlemen. How about yourselves? Happy Good Friday. Yeah, you're right. It's kind of weird saying Happy Good Friday. Happy Passover and Happy Easter to all. And it's been a weird week. It's been a weird few weeks. Did you all notice that predictions – I don't know if predictions are the right word, but when you're expecting something to happen with a news story, It just doesn't materialize. I'm thinking of the indictment on the orange one. They had everybody prepped for, you know, hordes and hordes of MAGA hat wearing infidel, you know, knuckle draggers destroying New York City, and that didn't seem to happen. It's just something I noticed.
Yeah, it didn't, did it? No. Yeah. I mean, just
it didn't seem to happen. I know people have their opinions, and you know, we all have our opinions on what's going on. But at the same time, it's like, you know, it seems to me that somebody has a very strong interest in bringing this population to the point where we're just killing each other.
Well, yeah. Isn't that interesting? Of course,
isn't it though?
If you were listening past few days, got to say something. You know, here's the thing. What did I tell you? I know that there is not a serious issue here because I know how security works. And if they were really worried about it, if there was a potential threat, a legitimate potential threat, different things would have been happening. And in fact, not going on MSM reports, but going on, let's call them, side sources that I have, I knew that the National Guard was absolutely off the table. I knew that the people that work private security in the area, which would also be affected by law enforcement activities and things like that, were not having to take extra precautions, not unusual ones. There's different levels, okay? When you know you're going to have a higher traffic situation, you maybe add personnel. When you know you're going to need to direct traffic, you put certain things in place. Even in private security, and I happen to note, not only from public observation, but from private consultation, that nobody was taking those measures. So one of two things was true. Either somebody wanted a disaster to occur, and they knew it was coming, or legitimately, their intelligence all told them that this situation is easily controlled at another place. You see, you don't have to worry about a big crowd if a big crowd is directed away from your area. You don't have to worry about the situation if traffic is redirected in the first place. See, because if they can't get there, they can't gather, they can't mass, they can't become a mass threat. So since go ahead.
I think it's something much simpler there, Chuck. I think simply on this one, you know, they dropped the bomb before the weekend on a Friday after they had told everybody that the grand jury went home. So when they announced that he had been indicted and he'd be going to court on Tuesday, the FBI didn't have enough time to get their people together to stir it up like they have in the past. It was just short notice. They didn't coordinate. That was the problem.
No. See, now in a place, you know, in lots of other places in the country, you might be right, but here's the problem. And here is the truth, right? It's all logistics. There are plenty of people available that you can get on short notice. It's a highly densely populated area in New York City. If you want provocateurs to show up, you can get them there in only a couple hours. It doesn't take long.
I realize that. Yeah. But the only people that would have wanted to benefit from it would be the FBI. I mean, as we're finding out now, they had more guys in the Proud Boys than the Proud Boys had in the Proud Boys.
Well, what else is new? And who told you that first, by the way? What did I say about the leader of the Proud Boys? Fed, period. End story. I said this to begin with, but, you know, nobody listens to me because I'm a jackass. So, you know, I know who's who, and I know that if you needed just bodies to fill a protest, they could do that on a dime. They can, change the levels of the bodies there anytime and add provocateurs in New York City very easily. If you don't know anything about it, let me direct you to the Occupy Wall Street situation that occurred. And I knew exactly what those crowd levels were going to be. I knew exactly who was being pumped in there. And no, it's not George Soros.
Chuck.
It's your
Chuck,
feds.
Do you okay. mean to tell me that the Occupy Wall Street was not a homogenous, homegrown upswell of public disgust?
As with almost everything.
Something behind it?
As with almost everything, guess what?
Huh.
A legitimate, organic, grassroots thing begins, and then it gets co-opted. Then it gets taken over. It gets hijacked. This is what they do. And it doesn't matter. Oh, it's on the left. It's on the right. No. No. Doesn't matter. Tea Party, infiltrated, hijacked, co-opted, and then absorbed into the Republican Party. Tea Party. End of story. That was a legitimate grass, and you can't call that left wing. Guess what? Antifa, you notice they're nowhere around? You know why? The program didn't work. The legitimate Antifa is a communication hub. It is a leaderless organization. It's not idiots in uniforms. Anarchists don't wear uniforms. Get it? Okay. Well, guess what? They could have easily called up people. They could have called up a whole brand new group that they have logos stashed in a closet for somewhere else with a new cartoon character, whether it's Pepe the Frog or it's an Antifa movement thing, or if they want to bring back the hammer and sickle, you know, the hammer is the worker, the sickle is the farmer. You bring it all back. It doesn't matter. They got new logos ready to pull out of the box anytime they want, and somebody decided no. And the reason is it's not time yet. Point blank, I just told you the whole story. It's not because, oh, they couldn't get the MAGA people worked up. They got the MAGA people worked up, but they bitched about it on Twitter. They bitched about it on Truth Social. And they made sure to invest their money instead of bus tickets to go to New York. They made sure to buy mugshot t-shirts is what they did. His fake mugshot t-shirts started circulating. Trump raised over $1 million a day in the first week. I stopped keeping track. That's what we know publicly. And guess what? His position for the GOP nomination has been strengthened. Now, do you see the program? I hope you do, because that's what it is. It is about this. It's about maneuverability. It's about propping him up. And oh, by the way, guess what the Nielsen ratings and the Arbitron ratings are going to say about the news channels in the next quarter. All of their ratings are going back up because they were tumbling downward, and every last one of them, left, right, center, they're all going to be looking a lot better. Their commercial revenue is going to go up. And they haven't even picked up the political commercials yet.
On that note, I heard a number the other day.
Yes.
In the first 20 days of coverage, mm-hmm. they spent around 440 minutes of broadcasting about the Trump indictment.
Okay.
And on the money from China aspect on the Biden side of things, zero.
Well, zero is inaccurate, but probably close. It's not that far away from zero to call it zero. But zero is inaccurate because I know they did go over it a little bit. I saw it on CNN. I saw it briefly mentioned on Fox. I saw it on Fox Business. But short.
Well,
let me
clarify this. This number was just ABC, NBC, and CBS evening news broadcasts for 20 days.
That may be true. But I know that ABC, CBS, NBC, I know the networks were covering it in January a little bit. But I don't know past that. I don't recall off the top of my head. But if it was CNN, Fox, MSNBC, CNBC, if it was any of that, then no, they're lying if they say it's zero. Because it hasn't been zero, but it's been very limited. Don't worry, though, that's going to pick up. Because Jim Jordan is insisting on it and also insisting on trying to drag this, you know, this ridiculous prosecutor from New York who, has done what? Revealed nothing except I have 34 ways to count the same charge, pretty much. And, he's doing that on Stormy Daniels, which we all knew about. No bombshell, nothing new, no brand new scandal. Just, by the way, while he was doing that, he was filling out his forms incorrectly. And I bet you we got tax evasion. And I bet you we got misappropriation as far as campaign funding, blah, blah, in a technical sense, and BS and BS. And again, something else for him to become the Teflon Don just a little bit more. Meanwhile, B-Pete. Before you and I wind up running our mouths too much, we do have another caller who's been waiting, and another caller has called in. So I want to get around to everybody, and I cut Captain Trips off, too, because he asked the question that set me off. But let's get around to everybody as best we can. And the lady on the line, I'm not sure who the other caller is yet. I haven't checked, but you know who I'm talking to. You can tell me how things are in the other room, dear.
I'm quiet for now.
Ah, rare. Dogs barking. There's Mrs. O. So what's
happy birthday to you?
Yeah. Not only is it Good Friday, but
happy birthday.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Frankie. And my daughter called me earlier today to say happy birthday as well. Appreciate it. Yeah, I happen to have been born on April 7th. I share a birthday with Alan Dulles. And I'm told Francis Ford Coppola and, Crazy Joe Gallo as well. Not only was he born on April 7th, but he died on April 7th, exactly the same day I was born. So, the day that he was killed on April 7th, I was born. a few miles away from where he was killed. Anyways, it is what it is. And I'm sure there's some other characters that share the April 7th birthday, but yeah, that's true. Thank you, hon. Is there anything else you wanted to add before we move things around?
Who, me?
Oh, no, I was asking Mrs. O.
Well, maybe
Mrs. O.
Sometime I want to talk about those juveniles down in Marion County, Florida.
Holy crap. Yeah, there's a news story for you. The youngest one that I know about, yeah, being charged so far is the 12-year-old in this very interesting...
12 years old.
Yeah, 12 years old and plenty of outrage to be had. Now, that press conference was a little odd with that sheriff down there. I think he's the sheriff of the county. And he's pissed, and he's saying some things that, yeah, a lot of us want to hear, but he's also being kind of counterproductive, and I hope he doesn't jeopardize the prosecution, because apparently three juveniles decided to murder three people of teenage years, not all of them juvenile. I think one of them was 19, but apparently they were, according to the press conference earlier today, sort of working together in a criminal way, doing some kind of burglaries was the term used. But they didn't get into any sort of details.
16-year-olds.
Yeah, and
two 16-year-olds and a 17-year-old.
Oh, I see. I thought the girl was 19.
Boy.
Oh, okay. No, I thought the girl, the victim, was 19.
16-year-old girl and a 17-year-old boy were found. Like Monday was one, like March 30th, and then the 31st, and then the 1st.
Well, the trunk...
One of them was in the trunk of the car.
Yeah, now the trunk of the car that one of the victims was in, now, it was apparently the vehicle belonged to one of the other victims. So that's why I thought they had said something about a 19-year-old, but they were still in search of another juvenile, a third suspect, earlier today when they gave the press conference. So I know about that, but...
Still,
and that...
He's 16.
Yeah, and that is actually not too far from Captain Trips in a way there, because it's in Florida.
Nope. It's not. No, it's Marion County. That's Ocala. That's horse country. That's kind of more center of the state. Yeah, I know. And I knew about the story. I didn't hear all of. I heard. I think I part of the press conference. I heard the kind of nuts and bolts on the story. It was just rather disgusting.
A whole horrendous story.
And,
I did enjoy the sheriff saying, though, that even the town barber has my permission to whoop my son's ass if he sees him screwing up.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of like that. But
That's how I grew up. You did something wrong. The neighbor's parents were going to correct you.
Somebody would come and beat your ass.
You went home and told your parents. If I went home and told my mother that the next door, the lady next door corrected me, and she'd say, "Well, what did you do?" Mm. And then you told her, you got smacked again.
Oh, I definitely would get hit for snitching. You kidding me? I get hit for snitching and complaining. And then if you cried, well, you got to get hit a third time. That's a guarantee. Not saying my mother always had a great judgment there, but that was one of those things when she was trying to be a parent, is she did behave that way, where it was like, what did you do? And number two, you're a snitch. And number three, now you're going to cry about it? All right. So, yeah, three ass whoopings you'd earn for that. So you'd generally go home and go, why are you bleeding? I don't know. No reason. Just doesn't matter. That's the way to handle that. Anyways... we got a bit of noise coming.
Scary.
Got a bit of noise coming from you, Mrs. O. What's that, doggy?
Yeah, that's Athena.
All right. Well, tell Destructo to relax. Anyways, we do have another caller. So, BP, do we want to continue on with the conversation? You want to drop something else in, or do we want to go to the new caller?
Get the new caller on here. Get everybody involved.
All right. Let's see here. Oh, hold on. Actually, we got two new callers. So let me get to the first one in order, and I believe he might be calling from Texas. So, new caller, you're on the line.
Is that me?
That's you.
Okay. They just now answered, and I was trying to text in the chat room at the same time, so I didn't think it was me. But okay, here I am. How are you?
There you are. Well, it said on my switchboard you'd been on hold for about 7 minutes.
It shouldn't have been.
Weird. Okay,
but
then
I'll take it.
I took you out of order then. We've got somebody else on the line that was probably there longer then. Okay, sorry. But we'll let you take your turn and then get around to the next caller and just take it from there. Sorry about that. Jimmy James is in the is on deck, just for everybody to be ready for that. Vance, anything you want to comment on so far that we talked about?
No, because I just I was on the in the chat room and I just switched over to listen live because nothing came up in the chat about we're starting now or anything. So I just now when Mrs. O made her last statement was when I clicked in.
I see. Okay, no problem. We had discussed a couple of things. News coverage, of course, the Trump indictment earlier in the week, which, by the way, last week there was an announcement, a leak, but the formal announcement didn't occur until this week, right? So once that was formally announced and then it was unsealed, it was, Stormy Daniels again. Okay. And no big riot, death and destruction in the street. And I guess technically he was arrested, but not really held for very long. Got to go right back to Mar-a-Lago and spout off again and do his thing. So it is what it is, or it is what it was. And so I don't know, man. You got anything on your mind today? Vance, Vanerkey, by the way, are you Vance-tastic? I got to find that out.
I'm Vance-tastic.
Excellent. Okay. So anything else on your mind, sir?
I was thinking along, been thinking about this Trump stuff as it's been going along, and I haven't really dug into all the meat and potatoes, but all I've been hearing about is the Stormy Daniels, Stormy Daniels, Stormy Daniels, but then apparently there's 34 charges that, are related to business dealings and improper, stuff going on there, mm-hmm. So if anybody has any insight on that, because, I'd find it hard to believe that, Trump hadn't done something shady.
I hear you there, but 34 counts, best I can surmise here, is it's all connected to Stormy Daniels and the payoffs. There may be something connected to the other lady, McDougal, McDonough? I can't remember the last name there, but the other lady was suing him too. So there's the catch and kill thing with the Inquirer.
Did you hear the other interesting factoid that was released about Stormy Daniels this week? He sued her. She just lost the judgment. She now owes Trump $122,000.
Yeah, they're suing each other because, she broke the NDA, right? I think that's over her breaking the NDA. So, whatever. Here we go. People suing each other. Yeah.
Yep. Apparently, no, and like Trump or dislike Trump, apparently this DA... They somehow were able to finagle felonies because the bad bookkeeping that they're claiming was done in order to cover up another crime, but they're not telling anybody what the other crime was. What's that mean? You got to find it.
Yeah. Well,
it's like you think it's a crime, but you don't know what it is. Well, you can't charge him until he's done something.
Well, no,
the guy, but I think it's a joke.
See, but that's a weird thing. If you do this particular, the reason for this is that if you're making these assertions in filed paperwork about your businesses, it's a crime to put false things in there, right? But it's a misdemeanor if it's just, something that's there. If you're doing it in furtherance of another crime, which it could be anything, then it could rise to the level of a felony. But to be honest with you, this is a gigantic, at least $12 million is the estimate I'm seeing, that it's going to cost to prosecute this. And trust me, that estimate's going to be way out of whack because the flurry of paperwork the Trump lawyers are going to file and all the time and resources are going to have to be spent on dealing with all these motions and everything else, this is going to rise to a higher price tag than that, and all for naught. It's going to go nowhere anyway. At the end of the day, let's just admit he probably has stuff entered, whether he did it himself or he had somebody else do it or he signed off on it. It's irrelevant. There's probably a whole bunch of BS in his business filings with taxes, with his filings for the selections, everything else. There's probably a ton of BS in there. Now, is it a bunch of misdemeanor crap that nobody would bother to even chase down because, what are you going to do? You can't flush every turd if the whole place is covered in them, right? So what are you going to do? This is a gigantic waste of time. is all it is, and a gigantic waste of money. And this guy is clearly grandstanding, this DA. I mean, that's all there is to it. And you know I'm not a Trump defender, right? So I'm just telling you what is.
That seems to be the whole narrative, is to set this all up to make him be the victim, you know. So,
well, of course.
That's the way I see the whole, you know, Trump existence, that he is the, you know, the focal point of changing the whole thing from the very get-go, where you know, fake news. All of a sudden, Trump coined the term fake news. There was never fake news before they started lying about Trump, and, you know, so
right.
That's just the way I see the narrative going.
Right. So we've got even more callers, BP, and I'm not even getting any of the news headlines, and time is flying. But I want to get to Jimmy James because I think I took Vance out of order. And then we got another caller that I'm familiar with the number. So hang on there, bud. We haven't heard from you in a bit. But we got to take Jimmy James next. BP, you ready for Jimmy James?
Sure, bring him on. The man with a fan.
Tell you what, I'll let you absolutely handle the call with Jimmy James. It is now your turn, sir, as co-host of the show.
Jimmy. You know, I apologize for you being pawned off on the second in charge, but how are you doing? What you got? What's on your mind?
Indeed, Jimmy James is on the poop deck.
There you go.
So how goes the man with the fan?
I'm well.
You're well. Well, that's good to hear. How's your fan? Is he well as well?
Probably.
Hey, Jimmy, I'm just going to let you know something. I did receive your email earlier, and I'm going to get something out to you shortly, okay? That address is correct in that message you sent me, right?
Did you get my second message? So I said, never mind, because I realized that what I donated probably wouldn't even cover a hat.
It's okay.
So
we're going to...
Never mind.
Yeah, but I'm going to get something out to you anyway, okay? And we're going to talk about the hats before we're done with the show tonight, but I'm going to get something out to you anyhow, okay?
All right, man. Whatever works.
I just hope it gets there. That's the only thing. I can't, you know, I can't guarantee because the post office, what they've done so far. But anyways, but by all means, what's on your mind?
Well, a few weeks ago, I'm sure everyone... Well, maybe you heard, maybe you didn't. Actor Robert Blake passed away at age 113. And as is the case, it drew and some all kinds of people from all walks of life to his funeral. And they actually had this thing on TV, and I was watching this thing. Well, weird mix. You had dead Robert Blake. Around his coffin, you had O.J. Simpson. You had the morning schmo. What's that morning schmo guy's name?
Morning schmo guy? What, Scarborough?
Oh, Scarborough. Yeah, the morning Joe there. The morning schmo. Joe,
okay.
Scarborough. You had Bill Clinton, of all people. You had Bill Clinton, O.J. Simpson, Joe Scarborough, dead Robert Blake. And I was thinking, oh, and then you had Alec Baldwin walk up there. I said, holy crap. Look at all them lady killers.
Jeez, Murderers Row. I mean, what the hell?
Yeah, really?
I didn't see that. Wow. Okay. I guess we should go look for the footage of the Robert Blake memorial service, BP. What do you think?
I start searching on that one. I wonder if YouTube's got it.
They got it. I mean, that's quite a mix, though. I mean, when you got OJ and Bill Clinton and Morning Joe all in one place, I mean, it's like, huh. It's like, you know that Sesame Street game? Like, which one of these things doesn't belong with the other? None of them. Yeah, weird, right?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Okay.
Quite interesting.
That's something.
I'm looking for it now. We'll see what pops up.
All right, fair enough. So, Jimmy,
I don't think you're gonna. I don't. I don't think you're going to find that footage, so I wouldn't look too hard.
Well, where was it broadcast? I mean, just in, because you're, well, you've said before, you're in Michigan, so was it like locally in, I mean, that's weird if it was broadcast only in Michigan. It's got to be elsewhere.
No, it was only broadcast here in my bedroom.
Okay. Well, you know, I got to get satellite dish from you. That's all I know, because that's wild. I would...
That's got to be one messed up network.
It's a joke. I wrote it. It's just a gag. It's just a joke. It didn't happen to my knowledge.
Oh, okay. He had me there for a minute. I'm like, yeah, why not? What the hell? All right, BP, stop looking for it. So, Jimmy, you want me to move on to another caller here, and we'll let the chaos really ensue?
Well, unless you want to hear a parable.
A parable? I'm always up for a good parable. How about you, BP?
Oh, yeah, I can do what a parable about now.
All right, go ahead, Jimmy James.
All right, why not? It's Good Friday.
Sure.
So a long, 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 long time ago, in a desert far, far away, it seems there was this king, judge.
Okay.
There was a judge, but he gave not a damn neither for man's law nor for God's law. And so this woman, whose husband was slain, approached him for justice. And he would not even see her in his court. He wouldn't let her in. And she began wailing. And if you know anything about Middle Eastern women, one thing they're very talented at that is that damn wailing. So she started wailing day and night.
Italian women also, but yeah, good.
The man couldn't... Oh, are they good too?
Oh, yeah. No, an Italian woman can wake somebody up two towns away at a funeral, man. Yeah, go ahead.
Huh.
Mm-hmm.
So on and on it went. And finally he said to his guards, bring that woman in here. Mm-hmm. He says, damn you, woman. I fear neither man nor God, but I will, and I abide neither by God's laws nor by man's laws. Mm-hmm. Nonetheless, I will give you your justice. Now please be gone and be silent. Mm. And so the widow got her justice.
Okay.
What can we learn from the wailing widow?
If you make enough noise, they will have to pay attention to you, even if they don't want to.
I don't know. I didn't write the thing.
That is my guess, BP. How do you take it?
I'm really not sure. I need more info. Can you go into more detail in this parable? It was a very simple parable.
I was waiting
for it to wrap itself up, but it didn't. It didn't quite have that closure to it.
Really?
Parables are usually more open.
I took the same thing as you took out of it, Chuck. That if you keep your mouth shut, you're never going to get any justice.
Right. You know, squeaky wheel gets the oil. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
I was going to say, it was covered under the squeaky wheel grease a long time before, I think.
Grease, right.
I don't know. When did squeaky wheels come out?
I don't know. Somebody do the research. No, I'm sure judges existed long before squeaky wheels. I guarantee people invented judgment before they invented the wheel. I promise you that.
Well, that's true, because, you know, men have had wives since God knows when, so I guess judgment was one of the first creations.
There you go. So, Mrs. O, anything you want to say about the parable?
No, not really.
All righty. How about you, Vance?
Yeah, that was the squeaky wheel deal.
Okay, squeaky wheel deal. See, he even wrapped it up nicer. He's got that flow. because he's Vanerkey. Anyway, speaking of somebody else who's got a flow to them, let's go to another caller that's on the line and been waiting. And, you know, I actually might have a job for this caller, a short-lived job. But I'm kind of having a hell of a time getting a hold of just anybody in the wrestling business. And I know that this guy knows some guys whose names you might know if you knew wrestling in the 80s or 90s. I know he knows a couple of them. He's actually brought one of them onto one of my shows before. He's brought other wrestlers elsewhere, this kind of stuff. And everybody stand back because we haven't heard from this guy in a while. And there he is. You're now unmuted, sir. How you doing?
Finally, Spinkett has come back to the Ocelli Effect. Are you ready to go one-on-one with the Spent One? Okay, got that out of the way. You know what's next.
You feel good?
It's your birthday.
Oh, God.
It's the Ocelli Effect. I tell you what, I'm going to do you a solid, Chuck.
All right.
For your birthday present this year, I will not sing Happy Birthday the rock style. You know, I've done it so many times before. So this is my birthday present to you, unless you want the birthday song.
No, no, I accept. Listen, Sicilians, we understand. We do not disrespect somebody by turning away a gift. So there you go. I will accept your gift. I appreciate it, man. Thanks. Yeah.
Well, I'll just say this. Yeah, wait a minute. How old are you again? It doesn't matter how old you are. Happy birthday to you. There you go.
Thank you.
But happy birthday, my brother.
Yeah, one year older than I thought I could ever be is where I'm at. But 51,
yeah,
actually. Yeah,
I know.
51. Anyways, I appreciate it, though, man. And I know that you probably especially decided to call in because it was my birthday and you probably got a Facebook reminder or something because I'm seeing those messages come in. Yeah. But I appreciate it, man.
I was thinking about, too, after I got that reminder of my, you know, my 51st birthday was on the Wednesday call-in show, you know, we were doing.
Oh, right. Right.
In August of 21, you know. So, and I sung happy birthdays at myself doing the rock style thing, right? And you put it in on the archives or whatever, you were, you know, reading the description of what happened. Right now, it says, Spent Kent sung birthday song to himself. Sorry about that, folks. And then the LOL or whatever. Said something to that aspect. It was funny in that. I just thought about that. So.
Yeah, I probably said something like, Spent
Kent. It's
been
a while since I've been on, so it's due.
It is. It is. Look, I probably.
What a perfect time to do it.
Exactly. I probably said something like, Spent Kent sang a song. Sorry about that. so that's probably what it was. And then I said, I probably said happy birthday to you in the notes, too. But nonetheless, you know.
Yeah, it was something to that aspect. It was funny, though.
Yeah. Well, you know, look, all in good humor. A lot of times there's stuff in the notes. People have come back to me and said, why did you put it that way in the notes? I'm like, because I figure hardly anybody reads them, and I just want to make sure they're paying attention, you know. So I put things in there. Sometimes I even say, I don't think anybody's reading this. You know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to write whatever I feel like, and I start writing about something else. You know, just because. So, you know, we got to put descriptions on the shows. What can I say? Anyways, man, anything on your mind that you want to get to or do you want to hang out? We got a pretty interesting array of individuals on the roundtable here already. And
I've been listening for a little while now. Yeah. I was just going to say, and we haven't heard much more about that Chinese spy balloon, but I don't know if y'all heard yet, but they shot down a paper airplane over Lake Michigan yesterday. You know, there's $450,000 down the tube, but there ain't nothing left of that paper airplane.
Jimmy James, did you happen to see the paper airplane get shot down? Since that's close by you, did they cover it on the local news?
In about 1 minute.
I'm sorry, did I catch you in the middle of a rip, brother? I apologize. You know, it might have been a box kite, too. That's another thing. And the FBI is probably not willing to confirm or deny that at the moment. But, yeah, sure, why not? Do we have more balloons?
This was a week late April Fool's. But, it's that ridiculous. You know?
Fair enough. You know, look, I wouldn't even be surprised, to be honest with you, if they shot down a kite, you know, somebody got a really good high-flying kite and it got shot down, just, you know, so they can look like they're trying to do something. You know, meanwhile, trains are derailing everywhere. We talked about that last week a little bit. But, you know, there's actually things going on, too.
Yeah,
BP.
A lot of lights, camera, distraction with the old Trump thing, you know.
Well, that too. You know, you got to keep people busy. And you know,
to answer your question.
Yes, Jimmy James.
I did not hear about this one, but like a month ago, during the balloon craze, they shot down something over one of the Great Lakes.
Oh yeah, sure.
But I didn't know they did one less.
You know what?
I didn't know they shot another thing down. Used to meet.
You know what I would do is, you remember those...
Yeah, it was kind of a late April Fool's, Jimmy, there. I was just doing a late April Fool's, but just trying to be sarcastic on how ridiculous all of that was a month ago. Now we don't know about it.
It's okay, Jimmy James.
The distraction is up for everybody right now, the Trump thing.
It's okay. Jimmy James was telling us that at the Robert Blake funeral, that OJ and Bill Clinton, Robert Blake and Joe Scarborough were all together, you know, paying their last respects to Robert Blake, so... You know, hey, turnabout's fair play. You know what, BP, we've gone about, let me see here, about 40 minutes, and I'm thinking maybe we should take a quick break, but is there anything you want to add in here, or should we just collect ourselves and sort out a batting order for our murderer's row on the round table here? What do you think?
Yeah, we can go ahead and take a break, and when we come back, we can discuss a few things that have happened here just this past week, one of which is, Dylan Mulvaney and his big Bud Light and Nike sponsorships,
which
has really set a lot of people off.
Really? I didn't even hear about that.
I got some thoughts on the whole Bud Light thing.
Wait a minute, there's a Bud Light controversy? I must have totally missed this.
They apparently
Chuck, where have you been?
Wow.
I'm gonna try to be as nice as possible.
Okay.
And I won't say anything that will get the show nailed, like dinged. They apparently put this person who is a now well known, or I don't know how well known, but he or she is, their face is popping up. They're kind of loud and obnoxious, and at any rate, somehow Anheuser-Busch decided to use this person as a spokesman and put the person's face on a Bud Light ad. Okay. Now, here's my question. Mm-hmm. Who drinks Bud Light, typically?
Well,
I find it very difficult that your typical Bud Light consumer is going to be someone who is also a, say, pro-trans activist.
Hmm.
Why would you do this? What is the purpose? What are you, to me now, everything I see, it seems like they are throwing more and more and more and more gasoline on a raging fire. And then you have Kid Rock come out and put out some kind of video where he's out somewhere shooting up cases of Bud Light. I mean, think about it. Like, why would you like your typical Bud Light customer, think that they're going to support this?
Hold on a second. So
wrong.
So let me get this right. I missed a lot here, apparently. Let me just get this straight before we go to break. Seriously, okay? I did not know about this, but Kid Rock, and again, shout out Jimmy James, one of your homies. Kid Rock there is now, like, what, on social media, like taking a shotgun or maybe an AR to some cases of Bud Light.
Let me see if I can find it.
Okay, but I mean, he's like making a point of this because
I
already posted this link to this story, and the Jimmy James takes a news dump in the chat room.
Okay,
it directs right to the story of Kid Rock shooting up the.
All right, now this is coming from Fox News.
Okay.
Published April 4th, and I'll send you all the link. Kid Rock shoots up Bud Light cans with rifle to protest Dylan Mulvaney partnership, F-Bud Light. Bud Light. Let me see if it says exactly what.
Okay.
It says, okay, Fox News Digital reported that Anheuser-Busch sent packs of Bud Light featuring the influencer's face as a way to celebrate a full year of girlhood that Mulvaney recently reached.
Girlhood.
Mulvaney said the cans were her most prized possession on Instagram with a post featuring hashtag Bud Light partner. Interestingly, Bud Light spelled L-I-G-T-H, but I thought Bud Light was always L-I-T. I could be wrong.
No, that's light beer for Miller.
That's Miller Light.
Oh, it's Miller. Miller
Light.
Okay.
L-I-T-E.
Okay.
I wasn't sure.
I would definitely defer to Spent Kent on this, his expertise. I would not challenge it.
This is one of my expertise now.
Well, I do believe it is, Spent Kent. In all fairness, it is one of your areas of expertise. Am I incorrect?
Yeah, I mean, look at my job title on my Facebook page. It says professional goof-offs, rock stars, and beer drinkers. So, beer drinkers right there is in the title.
Well, there you
That's
have it.
Job.
So, I said, I'm not mischaracterizing you.
And
Anheuser-Busch's response was, Anheuser-Busch has since responded to the backlash generated by making Mulvaney a Bud Light partner. In a statement to Fox News, the company explained, quote, Anheuser-Busch works with hundreds of influencers across our brands as one of many ways to authentically connect with audiences across various demographics and passion points. It added, from time to time, we produce unique commemorative cans for fans and for brand influencers. I thought that was like NASCAR. I mean, this story, it just is so bizarre.
Look, if you if you put
this guy's face on a package of Marlboro, you think it's the people that are smoking Marlboros are gonna? I just don't get it.
Okay,
I don't care.
I just don't get it. Okay, here's my problem. Right, look, if you can put him on a pack of bubble gum, if it helps you sell it, that's up to you and him and your his likeness. Just one favor I need here. Who the hell is Dylan Mulvaney?
Chuck.
Yes, sir.
Let's go ahead and take the break.
Yeah.
And when we come back, I'll explain the saga of Dylan Mulvaney and how we got to this point today. And then we'll just throw it on the table.
All right. And that might actually take I have this bizarre feeling that this could take up the rest of the show. So we'll just have to see what happens here on the Friday night open mic roundtable here on the Ocelli Effect. We have Mrs. O, we have Captain Trips, we have Spent Kent, we have Jimmy James, we have Vanarchy himself, and of course my co-host B Pete, and you listening. You can join us 319-527-5016. 319-527-5016. Join us if you like. Charles.Ocelli on Skype. Send me a message, and I can call you into the show as well.
WallStreetWindow.com. Gold, silver, the stock market. WallStreetWindow.com. Perhaps you're invested deeply.
Perhaps you're not in deep enough.
Maybe you're thinking about getting started. WallStreetWindow.com. Michael Swanson, the brilliant author of The War State, understood these trends professionally for many years, and now he gives you the benefit of his knowledge. WallStreetWindow.com. Go there now.
You're listening to the Ocelli.com radio network.
Every time I put it on my face, I'm able to breathe just a little bit deeper.
What are people saying about MyTrueEssence.net?
I'm going to tell you something serious, man. I just want to tell you listeners, I bought some of that Modifilin from Christy, and she made me up some of this emu oil mixed with some other stuff. I don't know what's in it, but I like the way it smelled. And I started putting it on, rubbing it on my foot, rubbing it on my knee, and like the second day, I just noticed it. I'm walking around, I'm like, damn, my knee is loose.
But I can tell you that oil you gave me helped me with my carpal and my shoulder problem. And if it wasn't, I wouldn't be working.
My ankles sort of really be pesky and bother me. And I'm telling you, the pain just went away. Essential oils rule!
And when I put that on, it's like my skin came alive.
MyTrueEssence.net.
TheOcelli.com Radio Network.
For as little as $50 a month, you can buy an ad for your business, podcast, book, or any message you want heard on one or more of the Ocelli.com shows. To find out more, contact ads@Ocelli.com. That's ads@Ocelli.com. Be heard with us. Revelation through conversation. Ocelli.com.
Well, it's about goddamn time they wake up. Hell, I've been talking about this since 1959, about the corruption, the incredible lies, deception of the entire superstructure of Western civilization, and the incredible treason, lunacy, lies, deception. It's just amazing how much has been done in the past 100 years to the human family.
That was Jordan Maxwell on the Ocelli Effect. For more pods with Jordan and Chuck, search Ocelli.com, along with hundreds of other shows and topics as presented by Chuck Ocelli on Ocelli.com. Thanks for listening.
War State by Michael Swanson explains the great national transformation that took place and put the Kennedy presidency in the context of the times and reveals never-before-published information about the Cuban Missile Crisis. President Kennedy would not have been assassinated if he had been president 200 years ago. His assassination took place in the context of the Cold War and the rise of the national security state. Before World War II, the United States was a continental republic. In the decade that followed, it became an imperial superpower. Generals such as Curtis LeMay not only wanted to invade Cuba, but knew that there were short-range missiles on the island armed with nuclear warheads that they could not destroy because they were on mobile launchers. Their invasion could have led to a third world war, and they wanted to go to war anyway. The War State by Michael Swanson reveals why and will show you what President Kennedy was up against. For more information, thewarstate.com.
Revelation through conversation.
Ocelli.com.
Friday night open mic here on the Ocelli Effect, and this is segment number two. My co-host B. Pete is with me. We heard from Mrs. O, but she has since dropped off. We have Vanarchy with us. We have Jimmy James, in no particular order, by the way. We have Captain Trips and Spit Kent, all on the call. So you could join us if you like. 319-527-5016. That's the number to call in. Maybe I'll get to the hat thing that's going on. I am trying to organize that. It has not been easy to get the hats once again. Not just the Ocelli Effect hats either. What we're going to do is whichever show is on the network that you want a hat for, that's currently on the network, which means, by the way, no more Jack Blood. So you don't get a Jack Blood hat. But you can get an Age of Transitions hat, an Uncle hat, an Ocelli Effect hat, or... hey, a Get Mad with Chris Graves hat, because that's the show that's on the network. He's got other shows, but he'll have to make hats for himself for those other shows. But you could select one of those, and they're all going to be slightly different from one another. It's not all black hats. And even if you got an Ocelli Effect hat in the past, a couple years ago I ran that promotion as a thank you for a decent donation. And yeah, we did that, and it'll be a totally different design this time. So that's happening, but I'm trying to get some place to do it that'll do a decent quality, because I'm not going to give you guys garbage, and also for a reasonable price, so that, quite frankly, we can make a little something on it. So, you know, I don't want to gouge the hell out of you guys. I mean, I asked for $30 last time in order to send you a hat as a thank you, and might have to be 40, it might have to be 50 at this point, because everything is up in price. But it is a thank you. I'm not selling you the hat. I'm sending you a thank you. So you'll get to pick what show you want for the hat, for supporting the network. Can't do it just yet. And we will put it out, and I'll build a page on the website. That, along with the archived 10 years, the Magic Bullet archive, and some smaller versions, if you want to buy the archive in pieces. You can either have all of my shows and all the shows I produced on Ocelli.com in one thumb drive, or you can buy smaller ones and get like five of them all together to get the full decade of the Ocelli Effect. So that's the stuff I produce, the shows I put out. So what are we talking, 4,000 or 5,000 podcasts on one device, or again, on the smaller devices if you want to buy them piece by piece, we'll offer both. Anyway, we'll be building a page on the website for that shortly, and that's what's coming up. And I'm definitely going to need to raise some money this month, because... got a couple of big bills coming up, and if you want to get in on the hats thing, I haven't shown anybody except a couple of the hosts. I showed Graves what his hat might look like, and a couple other people what their hats might look like, but I'm still waiting samples from different places. They're going to be shipped to me, and then we're going to know for sure, and we'll be running with those very soon. So, and I know B. Pete really loved the Ocelli Effect hat from last time. So what was it you kept calling it? A badass hat, B. Pete?
A badass hat.
There you go. So I'm going to try and make these equally as badass, if not better. So hopefully you guys enjoy.
I wore mine today.
There you go.
I wore mine today, just to tell you that. I still wear it.
Excellent. Spent Kent still wearing his hat. I know other people have had them, but we had a limited run of those, and they became too expensive. Because even if they're not, even if I don't get them from China, by the way, apparently some of the materials to make them here come from China. So even if they're made in the USA, not all their materials are made in the USA. So prices are up. Shipping is up. Everything is up. No kidding. We live in a time of inflation. But anyway, when we went to break, somebody was trying to explain to me what the hell is going on with Bud Light. And BP said he would lay it out for me. So how about we lay that out and pass it around the table, BP? Because interesting question here, something I totally missed in the news cycle. Go ahead.
All right. Well, Dylan Mulvaney was an individual who graduated from University of Cincinnati and then started working in theater. And okay. was actually in the musical The Book of Mormon. I believe it was touring at the time when the pandemic hit. And, of course, we all know when the pandemic hit, live theater, live band appearances all went the wayside. Nobody, you know, it was going to kill the world if we all went out to watch our future transgendered friend
various,
on the stage.
Right, so various lockdowns in various places kind of put his career, her career on the skids, depending on where they were at that time.
Well,
yeah, okay.
Yeah, and I mean, it even locked down Broadway for over a year. So
yeah.
In that time, Dylan Mulvaney was kind of had a, I don't know, I guess you could say a privileged background. It was a more affluent family. Lived in San Diego, supposedly this very, very conservative family, and during the pandemic decided that they were going to transgender from a man to a woman and took advantage of TikTok as the platform to do this on and started broadcasting daily. And then once got into transitioning, came up with this girlhood 365 thing. She was going to show for a year what she was going through and what it was like transitioning. Well, behind the scenes, connections in the family and connections in the theater business and agents and things like that put together a pretty good, impressive team to go out and promote Dylan and what she was attempting to do, and started finding her placed on certain podcasts and things with a couple cosmetic firms.
Now, let me just ask you a quick question here.
Suddenly got started getting endorsements.
Yeah, let me just ask you a quick question so I'm not confused, because I do know that Dylan is one of those names that apparently is used for either gender at this point. Did we stay with the name Dylan and there was a transition from male to female at that time, and did we stick with the name?
Yeah, it's been Dylan since birth.
Okay, so still Dylan, but now girl power instead of bouncing boy. Okay, gotcha. Go ahead.
Yeah, and as she started showing on some of these podcasts and things like that, she got started getting endorsement deals. One was, let me see, the beauty company. Which was it? Was it Ulta? I think it was Ulta.
So an influencer who's getting product endorsements, which is a thing. Yeah, okay.
But the thing is, you know, the minute this, it was Ulta Cosmetics, because when it happened, Ulta Beauty, there was a hairstylist named David Lopez who did podcasts for that company and had her on. And she talked about her transition and her childhood and everything. And this led to more appearances here and there. Well, with a good backing team looking for, you know, places to put Dylan to get her exposure, you know, they worked very hard at it. And they did a good job, because basically this person came out of nowhere and suddenly just boomed on the TikTok stage. And it was amazing how quick, you know, she was picking up followers. She started out on her first broadcast only getting, you know, a few thousand hits over time, but has now worked up to over 10 million followers and over 441 billion likes.
Okay, so from a business standpoint,
she's got her face out there. She's well known.
Right, so from a business standpoint, what we had is an actor who is not even like an A-list actor, but, you know, just sort of a working person making their way on theater traveling companies, no less. This kind of thing, and that's all good, and that's what they were known for. Then lockdown happens, so live performance goes away, as it did for musicians, theater, everything. So during that time, a new direction forged, and you have an influencer. And again, look, if you can sell popcorn this way, I mean, what can I say? If Orville Redenbacher wants to become, you know, Orvella, you know, we could do that. And if somebody will buy it, look, I mean, that's the free market, right? All right.
Yeah.
So now,
and she hit a big last fall is really when she hit big. In October is when she did this thing for Ulta Beauty Products, mm-hmm. and became a spokesman. And then that same month, with Now This News, an online news outlet, somehow in the past found Dylan, you know, hooked up with Dylan, got Dylan to work for them. And she went in with a group of other reporters, and she was representing Now This News, was invited to the White House. And this is when they were going through their proposed transgender protection policies and everything. So Dylan Mulvaney was invited with these other journalists to go in there, and she actually interviewed the president. So from there, things started picking up even faster. The snowball got bigger, started rolling faster down the hill. So to, now which brings this, us to March Madness.
Right. So now this news, just for everybody's edification, Now This News kind of ran out of steam for a bit there because they were pretty much the anti-Trump every day, you know, 60-second clip, whatever. That's what they were doing for a couple of years, and they had built a brand off of it. And probably during this time, and also with the 2020 selection going the way it did, you don't have Trump to kick around anymore. So,
this team that was taking, you know, she worked hard at getting placements and talking with the right people. And when she was in there talking with Joe Biden as this group, I mean, it was a setup question. They wanted to get the reaction. So it says here, when asked by Mulvaney about recent legislation restricting gender-affirming care for transgender youth by Republican-led legislatures, Biden described them as outrageous and immoral. So there was the film clip that everybody had.
Okay.
And here's a transgender activist asking the current president what he thought about this stuff. So, boom, that went viral. I mean, every news agency was running it. So that's more exposure.
Well, the only way
to go more viral
would have been if she had asked, do you want to smell my hair? But, yeah, okay, gotcha.
Yeah, pretty much.
Go ahead. All right.
So March Madness comes up. And because she is so popular on TikTok, somehow she got hooked up with Anheuser-Busch. And because of celebrating her year of transition and a milestone, Anheuser-Busch sent her a commemorative can with her face on it.
Okay.
And she, of course, goes on TikTok and does a video. She did a video promoting Bud in connection with March Madness. Budweiser sent me these great cans, blah, blah, blah. Well, then, you know, so now we're seeing this everywhere, and people started reacting to it. And that's why all of a sudden you had Kid Rock going out there and shooting up Bud Light cases. And Travis Tritt decided in all of his contracts for performing that they would remove all Anheuser-Busch products from materials that they would want backstage, things like that.
That's fine and dandy, I guess. Fine and dandy. You know, maybe not dandy, but definitely fine. Gotcha.
Well, here's the thing. You know, this thing went viral and people started going crazy, but Anheuser-Busch put out a statement, you know, when all this hullabaloo started that, you know, these cans are not for sale to the general public.
Right.
This is a can that we sent her as a commemorative gift.
Right.
We're not putting this on our everyday six packs we sell to Joe.
Right.
You know, people didn't, you know, that didn't matter to most people involved. You know, they had something, they were going to ride it into the ground and beat the dead horse.
Right.
So that's where we are today. The problem is Nike has just come out.
Uh-oh.
And had Dylan show up in an advertisement wearing a woman's sports bra. And she's doing yoga out in the backyard. And she's just, you know, the epitome of female existence, I think. And that's what's got so many other people ticked off. This isn't just a right-wing thing.
See, I thought
they've been very vocal about it.
Okay.
And, you know, because of the pressures that's being put on everything about transgenders from their kids' schools to, you know, you name it. But women have started coming out and saying, wait a minute, Nike, I've been active in sports all my life, and you have to find a man to represent a woman's sports bra, something's wrong.
Well, see,
there's a lot of female athletes who have, you know, paid their dues, and you're just brushing them to the side. So now we've reached this point, and I'll ask this question of everybody.
Well, peak outrage. Before you ask your question, hold on. Peak outrage has been achieved because here's the thing. Here's where this is all counterproductive, no matter where your sentimentality lies, right? I'm going to tell you why. I'm not even going to bother to scold the right-wing side of this. Let's talk about the left, okay? Here's the problem. You know, Jill Biden just got done basically trying to invite the second-place team, right? NCAA tournament second-place team to the White House, which is not a good look, all right? Because only the winners get to go to the White House. Why is it that you're going to pander to the second placers? Because they're girls? You mean girls don't have to achieve all the way? There's a problem. This is also amid a very serious push among NCAA athletes, where a whole lot of money is being made by the men in March Madness, and a fractional amount is being made by the women. Okay, and they're not getting the allocation of funds and all this other stuff. And some people do complain that it is because, well, they don't attract the same amount of attention. But here's the problem. They just had record-breaking ratings. They just had record-breaking straight-up revenue. But none of that is going to be shared in by the teams that achieved. So it's a very, very weird situation. There are serious things to discuss. And you know what? If you're actually looking to empower women, this is a massive distraction away from them and a imbalance in the structure of many things. And I'll tell you something, they're shooting themselves in the foot directly. If they're supporting this, if they're getting outraged about this, if they're getting upset about the right-wingers being engaged on this, this is all nonsense. It's going to get you nowhere. And it accomplishes nothing that you legitimately would like to see happen. Some sort of reasonable parity.
I've got a theory that's even more hardcore than that, Chuck. And that's, you remember back, 20 years ago, we started to see the feminization of men by women. Men needed to be more caring. Men needed to be more feeling. Men needed to be more, they didn't want to say it, like women. Yeah. And so, you know, we started this process, and little by little, we whittled away. You know, masculinity became toxic, and then it became a problem. Mm-hmm. And now it's an issue that we need to rid the world of. And here's what happened. While all this was going on by women, by all this, and I know this is going to tick off women out there. I'm sorry. I don't care. Send an email. We'll discuss it on the air or call in. But women bitched about men to the point that people were tired of hearing it. And while they were doing this, men, under subterfuge, slid right under women and came up as trans women and now have taken the spotlight away from women that they fought so hard to get. They brought this on themselves, ladies. You brought it on yourselves. And I know you're not going to like to hear that, but you got a problem and you need to fix it. Now, I agree with women in sports. Women in college have very few opportunities for scholarship. Because of Title IX, that has gotten better. But today's society and today's administration in the White House has now decided that Title IX, that was set aside for possibly reaching an equality between men and women in college sports and the allocation of monies for it, has now been bent to include transgender women. So now Title IX not only protects women in college sports, but men who think they're women in college sports, and puts them right back down at the bottom of the list. Women can't win for losing, but part of it they brought on themselves. I'll leave it at that.
Well said. In fact, the one thing that has, and I've tried to stay away from this issue. I've tried to just ignore it, but my daughter, my youngest daughter of all people, piped up and said, you know, I think this is the most demeaning thing to women. It's like, she nailed it. She's like, women have been, you know, fighting for women's rights and blah, 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 blah. And suddenly a man can shave his face and put on a dress and get the exact same, you know, rights that women have fought
for. Exactly.
So that's the tack I'm taking toward it now. if you're an adult and you decide to live your life that way, I really don't care.
Right.
I really don't. But I'm sorry. What I'm seeing in, you know, with this stuff doing on minor children, this is disgusting. And, you know, forcing it in the schools, I'm sure now someone's going to label me a right winger, but I'm just calling it like I see it. You know, I'm sorry. I think if you transition and you happen to be a male athlete, well, then you can still go compete with the men.
Mm-hmm.
But in allowing biological males, fully grown biological males, to somehow compete in women's sports, can you imagine 25 years ago if someone came up with that idea?
Exactly. I mean, let the NCAA.
Well, they did. They did. There was a movie.
NCAA start a new division for trans people.
See,
and let them compete against each other.
Yep.
Yeah, that's fine.
No, I agree.
You can't compete, but I don't think it's fair for a woman who's worked her whole life to perfect her athletic ability. I don't care what sport it is. And now you tell her she's second place because she just got beat by a biological male. And it's a biological male.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah,
which takes Title IX and stands it on its head.
It throws it out the door.
Right.
Yeah,
exactly.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
No, I got you. And it makes perfect sense. And I agree with the idea of, you know what, create a third division. You know, if there's enough of them, then there should be enough of them to make a third division and done.
Go for it. I have no problem with that. Go for it.
You know, and I think that would be fair. But otherwise, no. Remember, there was a movie called Ladybugs with Rodney Dangerfield, right? So, you know.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, so, you know, where he brings in the boy as a ringer on the girls' soccer team, right? I'm just saying, it's like it was almost a joke, 25 years ago, 30 years ago. But now it's not a joke. It's happening. So, anyway, BP, I think you should pass it around. Yeah, I think you should pass it around.
Just quickly, you know. Mm-hmm. Look at Little League Baseball. You got a 15-year-old kid who looks 13. They slide him in the team. They win a championship. They go on a world, you know, they could possibly win the Little League World Series. And then what would happen if they find out the kid is overage? Take that same 15-year-old boy and stick him on a girls' team and think about the outrage. But here we are. I don't mind anybody that wants to be transgendered. That's their choice. Mm. If they want to live their life, more power to them. They deserve a right to live a happy, safe life, just like everybody else. However, don't think that reality is not going to kick in with people when they say, okay, you're a man who wants to live as a woman. Let's be realistic about this. You are not a woman. Mm-hmm. Let's let women be women.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. All I was going to say is I think we should pass this around to everybody else. Captain Tripps got in, but I've also added Chris Graves to the conversation. So maybe we should get to Vance and Jimmy and then get back around to Chris and see what he's got to say about all this. So who do you want to go to next, BP?
Who was here first? Was it, well, Captain was here first, and then who? Was it Jimmy or Vance?
Well, I think technically Jimmy got on the line first, and then Vance did, but I took Vance's call first, and then Spent Kent joined after those two. So,
all right, we'll go to Jimmy, then we'll go to Vance, and then we'll hit Spent Kent, and then we'll go to Chris.
There you go.
And work our way around.
So, Jimmy James, you're up.
Jimmy.
Everything everyone said is obviously correct. This is such low-hanging fruit. I choose not to participate. I hope we don't waste a whole hour on training time. Pass.
I feel you. All right, so maybe Vance is next.
Yeah, well, it kind of goes back to Jimmy's low-hanging, or the squeaky wheel, you know, reference, where, you know, in my mind, none of this is an organic movement. You know, there wasn't, you know, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, or anywhere, you know, a bunch of gay people, and I've known lots of gay people, you know, complaining about, you know, I just don't see enough gay people on, you know, TV ads, and you know, so this has all been a, you know, socially engineered, you know, thing, you know, starting with RuPaul and all these other things, y'all talking about the the trans girl, there's that show they had called I Am Jazz, and you know, you look at that show and that girl is way messed up, you know. And so it's done designed to make another, you know, division and get people upset about stuff that has no real impact on society other than the, you know, so they get the wheel to squeak and then they can get the grease for it. So, you know, I guess that's my simplest analogy.
I got you. All right. Well, I guess that turns us to Spent Kent then.
Yeah, I just actually got back to this. For the last 15 minutes, I had a visitor, so I had to talk to a friend of mine.
No problem.
So I'm just getting back. But I heard most of the story as far as the beer can goes. I mean, it's just always divide and conquer. It's always that game. But I don't care what anybody does as long as it's not hurting anybody else. So, you know, that's just like natural rights and everything. So I don't know. I don't get all upset about stuff like this, but it's stupid. I mean, we can all see what's going on here. So
right. No, but if
they just wanted to do their own, everybody should just be able to do their own thing and not like push it in everybody else's face and stuff too. So
yeah, well, see, that's the problem anymore, is that this overabundance of normalization, as Vance mentioned. This really strange thing, and I got to tell you, I've known a few gay people too, and I don't recall them complaining that they needed to be seen in so many more places. Maybe they wanted to be seen a little bit, but you can't escape anything at this point without a whole bunch of anything but heterosexual people involved in ads, involved in TV shows, involved in storylines, involved. I mean, look, people are people. And they should be, you know, I've noted also that the, you know, every zombie apocalypse is extremely racially diverse as well. But the universe is a strange place. What can I say? Again, I concur with the majority of what you guys are talking about. But with that, I think we should go over to Chris and kind of move along, because I feel like Jimmy James does, where it's like, I hope we don't spend a lot of time on this, but wanted to give everybody a fair shot. So, Chris, how you doing, man? You got anything to say about this transgender deal or the Bud Light cans or any of it?
Well, it's a shame that he shot up the Bud Light, because I would have drank it, but that's neither here nor there. Transgender people in general, I honestly, my heart does go out to most of them. I feel like they're tortured individuals, and I don't know what the answer is, but I agree with everyone that this is kind of a divide and conquer tactic going on currently. So, yeah.
So there you have it, BP. I think everybody got a shot at that, and I think we should move on though, because it's a bizarre thing. And plus, you know, it's not like these were put out on the shelf. You know, even when I've turned around and decided to go pick up a product, and they got some idiot on the bag or whatever, it's a temporary thing. I don't care. You know what I mean? It just is what it is. I've turned around and also, you know, stopped supporting certain things when I feel as though they have made, you know, very serious inroads on political situations or whatever. You know, stopped eating this or that because I'm like, all right, I'm done putting money in their pocket if this is what they're going to do with it. But in this case, this is just business as usual. And if you're looking to, you know, be mad at every single endorsement deal that a company makes, you know, what can I say? I mean, we should be less reliant on the greater corporate monster that has so many tentacles to begin with. But if we're not going to go there, you know, then what does it matter? I'm more worried about the package than what's printed on it most of the time. I'm more worried about the contents of the package and how, you know, there's no real food and the stuff is made with GMO, this and that, and God knows where the hell they're sourcing their water from if they're making a beverage, and et cetera, et cetera. And, oh, by the way, you know, fetal tissue in your Pepsi. You know, thanks. No.
True, but we're at the point now, though, that we've got government trying to mandate that people have to involve themselves in other people's mental illness. That's the part that gets me. We've reached that point.
I don't know. I'm at the point of thinking that, like, everybody is mentally ill. Just pick a degree, and we're all
that's
there.
That's a good point. That's actually a good point.
You know, we're all there. Some of us are way more disturbed than others, but I'm willing to jump in on that and say, yeah, probably we're all mentally ill on some level because, you know, what do you expect when you live in a sick society? Are you not going to be affected by it? And if you interact with anyone or anything, you're probably touched by something that is slightly demented. And, you know, it is what it is. So I say we change topics, BP. What do you say?
It's like underwear. It's up to you.
Ah, I guess so. You know, but again, I would advise, you know, taking care of that more often than not. You know, Chris, we know the consequences of this, don't we?
Yeah, it's nothing good. You know, a lot of pandering. You know, like with any group that they consider marginalized, it's you know, it's not really helping them. It's just a lot of pandering and a lot of control and things like that. Like you said, Mr. Rotelli.
Well, see, that's the other weird thing about this is that amidst this argument, which I think are legitimate arguments about, you know, women's NCAA athletes not receiving the same benefits when they get into circumstances where they should get some money out of, you know, for the funding and everything. You know, their gyms are, you know, extremely different from the male gyms and all that in any of these universities. I mean, look, you got a performance-based thing here where the winners are supposed to get rewarded. Again, I point to Joe Biden trying to invite the second-place team to the White House, right? This is just not good. I'm thinking this is a bad situation. Anyway, weirdness.
Participation trophies for all.
Yeah, why not? That did not work well, in case anybody didn't notice. That was not good. Even the kids getting the participation trophies didn't like the participation trophies. You know, who the hell wants that?
Well, the one aspect to look at, you know, a few years ago, back when the World Cup was going on, we went through this complaint from the women's team that they weren't getting as much money as the male World Cup team. And, you know, the news stories that came out and said, you know, what was her name? Something Rapinoe, who was one of the players. I forget. Anyway, she became, you know, the it girl for a few months there when she was complaining about the differences between the male and the female teams. And it came out that, well, you guys, you know, negotiated this contract. You negotiated it a certain way, and that's why you're getting paid what you're paid. It doesn't have to do with, you know, how much money's coming in. This is what you people agreed to and signed the contract. Hmm. Well, the contract got changed after that bash, you know, and after that died down. The thing is, though, you have women now that have been – women's sports is getting more popular. You won't notice it at the WNBA attendance, but especially women's collegiate sports does have a big following.
Right.
They just don't pull in the TV revenue that the male teams – and predominantly the football teams and basketball teams pull in. Mm-hmm. But this year for the Final Four for the women, viewership was way up, and they had an excellent championship game between Iowa and LSU. I mean, it was a very good game. Mm-hmm. And to
yeah,
give
that's
them
actually
credit,
going up, too, as we speak. It's getting a lot better. I don't watch it personally, but I've noticed it myself because I do watch the Final Four and all that. You know, I'm a Zags fan, so... And I can tell you, you know, I've seen a lot of pushing the women's Final Four and a lot of people into it, you know, I've talked to and everything.
And
so,
to be honest, this year was some very good basketball. The thing is, though, when it comes to funding for things like that, you know, the TV contracts is what fuels men's college basketball and college football. Those contracts that are written by these networks are outrageous. And there is a lot of money pulled in. So they came up with Title IX. To try to rectify the situation. And it's done well. It has brought more opportunities for female scholarships in college. Women can then go on, in a lot of cases, and go on to, at a professional level. So it has helped prepare them. It's been a good thing. But now we have the NCAA naming a transgender male as a champion in a women's division. We've just erased all this progress that's been made at the expense of women. That's the part that kills me, is that this just in the past couple of years, women have come to the spotlight because men are taking the spotlight. Let's let women be women. Mm-hmm. Let men be men. And if men want to live like women and be like women, okay. But if there's a requirement that you have to be an actual woman to participate in something, what's wrong with sticking with that? That's the part I don't get.
I hear you. I like I said, well, I would not object to a third classification. You know, like, okay, so here's the men's division, here's the women's division, here's the trans division. You know, if you can float a
that's
team.
That's how they should do it, the trans division.
If you can float.
That would. But see, if they do that, it'll fix the whole divide and conquer thing, so they won't do it.
That would be a problem. And plus, you know, anyway, it doesn't matter. The simple solution is never implemented.
The better name would be just to call it middleweight sports. There you go.
All right, Dal, if we don't want to spend the whole night on this topic, I did see another thing today that I thought brought up an interesting debate.
Okay.
It was announced in the past couple of days that they are looking at having a heart disease vaccine and a cancer vaccine by 2030, which, if comes true, would be a wonderful thing. However, based on the past performance of vaccines that have been pushed on people in the last couple of years, do you think it's a hindrance and it's going to keep people from being reluctant to possibly miss out on a good vaccine later when one comes along?
I'm going to chime in on this one.
Please.
Because since and I'm going to be blunt. I mean, y'all know I have dived deep into the whole vaccine issue. Well, in the last, I'd have to say, 6 months, I went even deeper. I don't have a problem with calling myself anti-vaccine, and that's from a healthcare provider.
Now, for the record, the record, you were not always in that position.
Correct.
That was not always.
I always had some questions.
Yeah.
My children are vaccinated. I was vaccinated as a child. I never really gave it too much thought. I did in probably the last 10 years start to listen a lot more to people who were speaking up.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a lot of questions, but I hadn't really, you know, crossed the Rubicon.
Fair enough.
Well, I've crossed the Rubicon. And I have made my own personal decision. You will never stick anything in my body and that includes if I have to walk away from my career. I don't care at this point. You won't come near my child. You won't come near me. That's not because I completely dismiss vaccine science.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I had a similar experience just by getting a flu vaccine like 10 years mm-hmm. ago, where I woke up and was a floating head and could barely walk. I said, oh, that's mm-hmm. nice. I'm safe from the flu, supposedly, but I'm going to be paralyzed. And since then, I don't fool with vaccines.
Yeah, I don't
blame
you.
See, now, I just want to say real quick, and I want you to complete your thought. But as far as I'm concerned, I think this is a personal decision.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't want any part of it either, just like you guys. however, if somebody else wants to do that, I feel as though you have the right to put whatever chemical you choose into your body. That's not my business.
Absolutely.
And that includes a vaccine. That includes drugs. I don't care. Whatever it is, you choose to place it in your body. You choose to consume it or to place it in there one way or another by a shot, by a nasal spray. You know what? It's not my business. And if you choose not to, also not my business. But please continue. I just wanted to throw that in.
Oh, no, you're fine. You're fine. No. And the reason is that I dove into the research. I dove into the actual studies that exist. And Chuck, I think you know this because I think you and I had talked about this in the past where I think you had made the comment how none of these are really studied. And I didn't disagree with you, but I didn't have the answer myself one way or another. Well, I dove into it a little bit more, and they're not. They haven't been studied. What they use and call placebos aren't placebos. Yeah.
I have a question for Tripp and Chuck. Wouldn't you agree, though, by allowing these people by constantly getting these vaccines, I mean, for instance, polio, it's no coincidence that the only lingering strain just happens happens to be exactly what the vaccine is. I mean, we gotta end this crap in order to really end the disease.
I concur with you.
Polio's a very interesting one, because that was a rabbit hole that I never intended to go down in. Holy hell.
Yeah.
I mean, I just, you know, what I've turned up, I mean, like I said, was basically that, yeah, they do studies. Mm-hmm. But to the lay population, you don't, you know, in reading this, from a medical perspective, going, well, these aren't placebo-controlled studies.
No.
A placebo is saline. A placebo is dextrose water. A placebo is not the entire vaccine minus the antigen component.
Right.
A placebo is not the new vaccine tested against the old vaccine.
Right.
You want to do those studies and call them efficacy studies, fine. But you need a three-arm study, and they don't do it. And and the stuff that comes out, the data sucks. The data does not support anything.
Well,
the Gardasil thing is ridiculous.
Let me ask you a quick question. Let me ask you a quick question about these studies. Hold on, Jim. I have one that I want to throw in just real fast, and then I'd love for you to ask your question after, because in doing your deep dive, we have not discussed this yet, your deep dive on this.
No, we haven't.
So this is
meaning
a brand new question for me then, because I have never personally, now perhaps you have, but I have never personally discovered a circumstance where there was a proper control group where they don't have, and you know what? They could sit there and they could have people that are not exposed in any way, shape, or form to the vaccine at all, okay? And they could have them even without a placebo, just okay. And they are exposed to the same. They never have a proper control.
Yeah.
I've never seen one, except once. And that is in the case of the rabies vaccination.
I was going to say the one vaccine that really truly does seem to have been studied, truly been studied and studied appropriately, seems to be rabies. Now there are, I'm not completely throwing out that some vaccines can't have some benefit.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at some of the data on some of the pertussis vaccines, there is some decrease in morbidities, but that's also going back to the old pertussis vaccine that was actually a vaccine, but it was also far more dangerous. So basically what I'm turning up is it's the science is so bad that whether or not the questions just truly aren't answered. Do vaccines possibly contribute to the cause of autism? Honestly, I have no idea. But what I will say is I'm not comfortable saying they don't.
Right. Because although you have correlation, you don't necessarily have causation.
Correct.
Yeah.
Now,
see, now, these are precisely the points. I just want to say something. These are precisely the points that I have tried to make when this has come up. And I am told that, you know, I'm basically an idiot and that I don't trust, you know, trust science. You don't trust. And I go, look, I've tried to read their papers and I've done my best, and I'm not saying I'm a virologist, I'm not saying I'm a scientist, I'm saying that from my layman's perspective, okay, I've done my best to educate myself, and what I've come up with is this. And the funny thing is, I've come up with just about precisely the same conclusions that you have. Okay.
Yeah. And I'm coming at that from actually looking at what they've published and claimed to be studies,
right?
What they're claiming. They're claiming instead of doing RCTs that are very strictly controlled, they're doing a lot of epidemiologic studies. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, I can take, if I know enough about epidemiology, and now I'm not a researcher. I have a ton of research in my background, but I don't claim to be a scientific researcher. So any of you trolls that are listening, don't even say it.
Mm-hmm.
But I am a practicing medical provider that has been practicing in this field since the 1990s. Okay, so I feel like I have some cred behind me to speak, and I know how to read a research study.
Mm-hmm.
And
I trust you over anyone else at the moment, to be honest.
And that scares me, because not because you're saying that, because I'm desperately trying to find and hook up with other people that think the same way as I am, as I do. And I'm, as far as in my profession, and I'm starting to find more and more people, especially here in Florida. But there's a very good book that I just read, and it's called Turtles All the Way Down. Okay. It's published, I believe Bobby Kennedy Jr.'s group published it. One of the things that adds credibility to it to me is that these are, I'm pretty sure most of these people are Israeli researchers mm-hmm. that actually wrote this book. And let's be honest, their system, I mean, those people are a lot more track traced and databased in Israel in their healthcare system than we are here, if you think we have it bad. Mm-hmm. So just like the COVID vaccine studies, whether I agreed with the principle, the data, from what I could see, was fairly consistent or it was fairly accurate.
Right. Now, look, side note, and then I want to go to Jimmy James because I shut him down when he wanted to ask a question.
That's okay.
But the FEC, there is an official filing. Bobby Kennedy Jr. is going to run in 2024.
I saw that.
So, hell, people, I might vote. Jimmy James, yeah, so you had a question that you wanted to ask, and I'm sorry I cut you off before, but I wanted to make that point extremely clear about what he was saying. So please go ahead.
Well, first off, I'm glad to hear that RFK Jr. is entering the race. And I do hope that him and his ideas can capture more of the Democratic caucus's imagination than some other more authoritarian-minded individuals. Mm-hmm. Anyways, my question to you, Captain Trips, was legalistic. It's my understanding that these stupid trials have to be, what, double-blind or something?
It's not, legally? Okay, so... It's not so much legally. It more falls under the regulatory thing. Here's the issue, though. When they say double-blinded and randomized controlled, that basically means that – so you could do that study that I was talking about where you compared, say, in one of the vaccine Prevnar, which is against pneumococcal pneumonia. So there was Prevnar 7, and then they came out with Prevnar 13. So you can do – easily do a perfectly legitimate randomized control trial comparing the efficacy of Prevnar 7 to Prevnar 13, and you can do it blindly. I mean, that's not a problem. Mm-hmm. But you can't call that a safety – you can't call that a pure safety study because the Prevnar 7 was probably never tested against a placebo. And by placebo, I mean like a saline injection. So – you can – it's basically – it's all in the language, and it's all in just what they put out there for the public. Oh, hold on a second. I'm going to have to pause you. I'm being called.
No problem. I say we pass the topic around while Captain Trips is answering his phone call, BP. What do you think?
Well, that sounds good.
Because he's at work right now. That's why. But anyway, yeah, so who's next? I guess Jimmy James, did you want to add anything before we move over to somebody else or what?
No, Captain Trips was pretty much.
Yeah, we'll let him back on as soon as he.
What I was explaining, he did a pretty good job explaining it.
Okay, great.
I got the drift.
Great. But, so,
my only question is for any vaccine, though. Just to be clear, there is or there is not. I'm pretty sure there is. There has to be a legitimate placebo, right?
There should be if you're studying for safety, because you have to know what the effect may be with nothing. You have to have a control group that's not exposed at all in order to be able to say, look, this is what happens with no exposure, and this is what happens with exposure. Otherwise, you don't have a place to compare it to, and you have to control that group to assure that they're not being exposed, right? Just like when you go into a hospital, like for drug trials, right? They give somebody a sugar pill, they give somebody else the drug. Well, you have to know what else they're taking into their body. You give them the same kind of diet. You give them the same kind of situation they're in, right? They're in the same region, etc. You have to be able to control that group to know what else they were exposed to. Because, look, if they were exposed to, let's just say a whole lot of sunlight. They were out in the sun a lot. And you have the group that took it and the group that didn't take it. Maybe the group that didn't take it was equally as affected by sunlight as the group that took it. Or not. Right? And that's a simple thing. That's not even about life and death or does the thing work. It's just a matter of you have to know to be able to compare. And it's a good idea to have people that are, you know, similar. So, okay, males that had sunlight exposure and were exposed to the vaccine or were exposed to the drug. Either way, a male about the same age and about the same state of health. You have to be able to compare them similarly, right? So that's why these control groups are also supposed to be laid out so that you have... Because look, a 19-year-old girl and a 50-year-old guy... probably not in the same exact state physically, okay? Plus, you know, the guy, just, you know, back to that other topic, is not dealing with menstruation, which is an issue, okay? And does make things happen in the body every 28 days, right? Plus, 50-year-old versus 18-year-old, etc. You have to be able to have similar circumstances and then say, okay, the only thing that's actually different here is that we introduced this into the equation. And in that way, you get to know, is there a difference between what happens here when you have it and you don't have it? I mean, I don't know how else to lay that out as simply as possible. And what you find over and over again in these studies is they don't do it. It's actually not in there. And even if they claim to have done it.
Right there.
Yeah.
Then that should be against the law.
Yeah, it should be.
If they're doing that, then that's what it is against the law. It's professional misconduct, for one thing. If they're doing it knowingly, my God.
Yeah, well, but there you go. It's common practice. All of these vaccines, these hundreds of vaccines that have been introduced in the past few decades, right? And there have been hundreds that have been introduced one way or another into these studies. You can't find it except where? What did I say? The rabies. And that's exactly what Tripp's found, too. Is that all of the stuff that they publish, this is not like conspiracy theory. It's like they go, oh, that's a conspiracy theory thing when you say that this is. And I go, no, I'm telling you what's on the label. I'm telling you what's in their literature. I'm telling you what's in their studies. Not, you know, my ideas or I ran a study out of my house. I'm telling you what they have in their data. And, you know, you're a conspiracy theorist. Well, if I'm a conspiracy theorist, then so is the drug company. And guess what? That means everybody is full of crap, huh? Oh, all right. Fair enough.
Actually, as far as I'm... Charlie, I believe you'd be called what's a scientist.
Yeah, I might, because I observe something, and then also turn to the given literature that is supposed to be established scientifically as well. I think that's one of those things you're supposed to do for reference, but, you know...
You know. In the old days, but now it's my understanding that the science has been settled.
Oh, yeah, of course. And, of course, by its nature, science is never fully settled because you can test and retest. Yeah. And, in fact, you continuously retest. That's the point of science, in my mind, is that, hey, you're supposed to be able to get the same results over and over again. That's how it's established. But
you can't replicate. Well, unfortunately... Unfortunately, the powers that be have now twisted science to be something different than what it actually is. And I mean, we should expect these things to come out. Science doesn't matter anymore.
So I think we should go over to Vance and also to Kent. And then we also got to get back around to Chris. But excellent, excellent topic so far. Who do you want to go to next, Vance?
Sure. Yeah.
Vance, you got anything to say about this?
Well, I've been on the record for a while that, you know, in my mind, the entire system is a criminal enterprise, from the NIH to, you know, the WHO to CIA to all of the above. And, you know, until enough people understand that, then nothing's going to get fixed. You know, can't fix the problem if you don't understand what it is. So we can keep reelecting different people as presidents and calling them this and calling them that, but I don't see nothing getting fixed. So I'm going to go to the bar and drink a few drinks and shoot some pool.
There you go. All right, brother. Well, you going to hang up now or?
I'll hang on for just a little bit.
Yeah. Okay, great. Because I'll say this before we go over to Kent. One of the final straws for me on YouTube, of course, which now they've introduced their whole podcast thing, and there's all kinds of interesting opportunities there that I can't participate in. But anyway, getting kicked off of there, why? Because I said things like, you know, you might want to look at all of the drugs that they introduce, because take a look at the ethics behind the vaccine, sure, but why not? Let's look at the opiates too. You know, they determined that Oxycontin was not all that addictive. It was not likely to be addictive, according to the FDA-approved label. Why is that? Because they ran studies on it. And who did they run studies on? They found the hardest core heroin addicts they could find and kept feeding them pills and said, look, it's not very addictive. They can eat lots of them. They don't overdose either. Yeah, bad move. And that was an approved study. Beautiful stuff the Sacklers did there. But you're supposed to trust your good friends at, Eli Lilly and Johnson & Johnson, which, by the way, participated in making it a whole lot more efficient to harvest opium, you know, by creating opium straw out of the poppies, right? Poppy straw. And they grow that in New Zealand. But, you know, trust them, too. Remember, they had a two-shot vaccine. By the way, we don't hear about that one anymore, do we? Wonder what happened there. Anyway, just saying, we're supposed to trust all these drug companies. And whether they're giving you something because you got pain in your joints or because you've got an upset stomach or, you know, you need some talcum powder, watch out for asbestos. You know, hey, trust them, right? No, that's what I said, and that's what really got me kicked off, is that I was a vaccine denier based on the fact that I raised these questions across the board. Anyway, I say that we got to go to Spent Kent next, see if he's got anything to say. Of course, Spent Kent took the vaccine, though, famously on the show, and felt as though it was a good idea at the time. I don't know how you feel about it today, but you might have a different point of view from everybody else. Spent Kent.
Yeah, I actually agree with just about everything everybody's saying on here. As far as what BP said about science, yeah, the government will always, and the powers that be, whoever they are, will always try to steer science. But science is be science. When it's in its raw form, that's our best shot. Now, this is going to take a minute or two. We did do this on the radio a couple years ago. You know, I went a month and a half looking over, talking to people, doing my research. Mm-hmm. And, you know, long before I ever thought about getting the jab, I was explaining how Big Pharma works, the money system, how this is all going to work out. Right. I know that. But as I was researching, the one thing I was seeing was the people that got the jab, at least in my real world, the people I'm around, the people that got the jab weren't going in on the ventilators. Mm-hmm. They were just running around like every day's good and normal, you know.
I got you.
The two people that didn't get the jab that I work with in this community, right, in this neighborhood, up at the front gate, I had worked with him a couple days before he went into the hospital. He never came out. Now, granted, he's 70 years old or over. He was 70 something years old, so was his wife.
Right.
So that's a guy about two decades on me. But out of everybody in there, including my dad, who's 92 now, this is about when he was 90 or about to turn 90, all right, they were all fine. Mm-hmm. And I was saying this on the show, they were all fine. Mm-hmm. Then he died 11 days later. All right, I still wasn't sold yet. And we were going on the show. I think it lasted about a month and a half, that whole time, Chuck. I mean, call-in show?
Yep.
Yeah, it was about a month and a half I was debating it. But then when she died, I was like, look, in my real world, my life that I'm in here, in reality, not on the radio, not on a TV, not on the internet, not on just here, right, where I'm at. two people now that did not get vaccinated, got on the ventilators and died. Mm-hmm. So I'm turning 51 at the time, a month away.
Something like
whatever
that.
It was in early June, late June, whatever it was. I turned 51 in August 21. So I finally said, look, I think right now the benefits outweigh the risk. I don't trust going in on a ventilator. I won't come out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to remember a couple things. I'm heavy. I smoke. Mm-hmm. I smoke and drink. And, you know, face it, I'm spent, Kent. I've partied my ass off for almost now going on 53 years. I don't trust going in on a ventilator. So the benefits at that time outweighed the risk. And I defended it beautifully for that reason.
Hey,
and I even made jokes about it. I said, you know, I took Pfizer because it sounds more like a heavy metal rock band. Pfizer. We made jokes about it. I said, I still haven't grown a green scaly tail, and my balls still haven't fallen off. So everything's kind of normal.
Oh, fair enough.
But
that's
just me. I know it affects other people differently, and I think the only bet, because it wasn't going to stop the spreading of the, like they lied about,
right,
all that. So it's going to stop spreading. No, it won't. It won't stop the spreading. The only thing it seems to do is keep the people that get it from going in and dying on the ventilators as much as the people who didn't get it.
Well, that's what you
and
saw.
At that time, in my world, that's what I was witnessing.
That's
so
what you
forward.
Saw.
Now I look back and I wish I could, you know, maybe have not gotten it, because that was the first vaccine I got since the mid-80s at least.
Okay, and you know what?
I went a long time, almost 20 years without getting, or more than that, without getting a vaccine.
No, fair enough. And like I said, look, man, it is what you observed.
35 years.
It's what you observed. It's what you decided was best for you. And you remember, I didn't argue with you. I said, I wouldn't do it, but that's you. Your choice, right? I mean,
and right now, the only thing that kills me about it is, like, this is a good reason for me doing it, because it's exactly in my real world, and I don't take it back, but I would like to now wish I would have taken the chance, just taking my vitamin D a couple times a day and see the way I was still rolling. I'm sure I got sick. I get sick and I beat it, you know, and see how my immune system still would have held up at, you know, 51 years old at the time. So it's curious, but yeah, if it wasn't bad, I wouldn't be on the show right here, right now. So
yeah.
Again, at the time in my world, what I was seeing and what I was witnessing and what I was going through with coworkers and neighbors and people I care about, you know, to me at the time, the benefits outweighed the risk, and it sure did.
Well, but I hope that it continues.
Again, I don't blame anybody else for not getting them. If I was 10 years younger, let alone 20, 30 years younger, I wouldn't even think about looking at a vaccine.
Hey, look, fair enough.
And I didn't for 35 years. So
and
you go, guys.
And like I said, you know what? It's your decision. It's everybody's different. Here's the thing. I really hope that you continue to have no issues with it. You know, and I think that some people got issues with it later. I hope that you don't. I'm sure not everybody got an issue with it. But I hope that there is no problem.
My dad still gets those boosters and everything. He's 92, though. 92.
Yep.
So he hasn't gotten sick yet. He still plays golf. He played golf on Wednesday. He's 92.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets boosters. As far as I'm concerned, keep getting them.
Yeah, hey,
you're
look,
still kicking.
I mean,
any of us can only dream of getting a 92.
No, I got you.
You can make an argument, Kent, which everything you're saying, and I'm not actually going to say anything that disagree. I'm not disagreeing with you in many cases. I mean, using a case of your father or someone that's older, you can make an argument that there were certainly segments of the population that did derive some benefit from this. My biggest problem was they purposefully would not give any type of age stratification, and they made it out like every single living human being had the same risk from this, and that was patently absurd.
Right.
And they're still doing it. We know there is not one question that children are not affected by this, yet they put it on the CDC schedule? I mean, come on.
There you go.
It's ridiculous. If I was even 10 years younger, I wouldn't get one of those things.
Okay. So,
and you hit it. I'm going to just say one more thing, and then I'm actually going to bow out because I got to get going.
No problem.
But the biggest my biggest problem with all this was the force, the force that was used, and how many people have lost jobs and careers and had to do it against. You did your homework and you made your own decision, and that I'm fine with. I was perfectly fine with it all, but when they started forcing people, is when I started speaking.
Yep.
Up. But that's with that thing. Gentleman
at the time, even on the show,
right?
Yeah,
right. No, absolutely. Okay, so. Anyway, you're going to get going, Captain Trish.
I'm
going
to duck out.
So
Chuck, we should do a show on that topic.
I would love
be safe to do, but
yeah, I'd love
we'll
to.
Let's talk off air.
Absolutely, sometime soon. And
ready, Cap. We'll talk soon, brother.
Yep,
definitely. It's been a pleasure. I'm glad you had the show. I'm glad I was able to call in. It was nice to talk to you all. I'm going to go see what's waiting for me out there in my real world for this evening.
So, good.
Happy Easter. All celebrate. Happy Passover again, and God bless you all. I'll talk to you all later.
All right, Captain Trips. Anyway, that does leave us with Chris still on the line, who you know might have something he wants to drop in on this topic, might not. Up to you, Chris.
Yeah, Fauci just I guess sold his memoirs for $5 million. So good for him. He's also making the rounds talking about. The inevitability of the next pandemic that we're going to be facing. So, and that's about all I was going to add.
Fair enough. And I urge people to take a look at the show that I did and also Jack Blood did on this network regarding Dr. Zelenko and exactly what happened in his real world situation. The late Dr. Zelenko, who died of cancer, actually, but his treatment during the pandemic of individuals that he was taking care of and all that. It's an interesting story in and of itself. And I think I've said all that I need to say on this. So, BP, we're actually a little bit over time now. So I'm thinking we should probably get around to everybody and let them throw in a last sentiment here and then get on out the door. What do you say?
Sounds like a plan to me.
All right. So we still got Jimmy James. We still got Vance. We still got Kent. And we still got Chris. So Mrs. O and Captain Trips have since departed the conversation. And I didn't see anybody else join in, and we didn't go to another break. So there we are. Where would you like to start, VP?
Well, we should start with Jimmy and work our way around.
There you go. Jimmy James, what do you think about this? This was an interesting week of discussions. We had a few things go around the table, right?
Today or all during the week?
Oh, I'm just talking about today. I thought last night was interesting, too. I don't know if you caught that one, but... and, of course, Chris has done some interesting shows. So, you know, there's been an interesting week here. But I was just talking about this week's Friday night show, really.
Yeah, it was a good show. Well, most of it. Could have done with a little less training.
Couldn't we all?
Needed less tranny. But anyways, the medical tyranny thing, yeah, of course, this is all it is. And of course, now I... well, gee, who's paying Fauci this $5 million? Anyone from China, perhaps?
Penguin Publishing.
Penguin Publishing.
Yeah. Yeah, who owns them now? Oh, the Chinese Liberation Army of China.
I don't know. I'd have to check. I'm not sure. Could be. Could be them or BlackRock or both. I don't know.
Is this a shout-out or was I just supposed to comment on that thing?
Oh, no, whatever you want to talk about. I was giving you your last, you know, whatever you want to say at the end.
Oh, so this is the end.
Yeah, we're about 7 minutes over.
Oh, man!
Oh, what a load of crap. Fridays has been ruined thanks to that no-good scoundrel there in France and Uncle bailing out on us. It feels like half a Friday every week. Nothing's right.
That's funny. I'm sorry, Jimmy James. You miss Aaron and Uncle on Fridays. I'm actually trying to get them to come back on Fridays.
I wish they would.
Me too.
Friday just don't feel like Friday anymore.
So we need another show after mine on Fridays. Is that what you're saying?
Well, at least. See, at least the midnight. It's Friday night, for crying out loud.
I gotcha. Well, you know, Chris would have had a show before me, but his guest bounced, and you know what? Him and I have been trading stories about how we feel like crap this week. So, you know, that's the truth, right? That's an off-air thing, but
we're dying, and guests keep canceling.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Yeah. They smell the stench of death on us.
I know my last name's Graves, but come on, man.
There you go. Sorry, Jimmy. I keep stepping on you, man. What is your final thought for the week?
Oh, very important stuff. Very important stuff. Happy high holidays to everyone.
There you go.
I will be also observing the high holidays. And peace out, and I look forward. I assume that, are they still going to do a show Sunday, or are they bailing out for it being Easter?
To my knowledge, they will be on Sunday night.
Yeah, well, I'll be tuning in, and hopefully everyone else will too.
Excellent.
Everyone have a good one. Peace.
Excellent. And starting on Monday, this Monday coming, I'll be live again on Mondays, and I've got Eric Jackman booked for this Monday, so you guys might want to catch that one. Who knows? Maybe I'll convince him to do dueling Trumps for a minute. We'll try and have fun with that on Monday. So he'll have more programming next week, I assure you. Anyway, Jimmy James, love it when you call in, man. Thanks. We'll let you go for now, and I guess that means that we need to go over to Vance. Hola, Vance. He might be playing pool and not hearing us. He might have muted up. Vance?
Hello, Vance.
All right. You know what? Why don't we move along to Spent Kent, and maybe we'll come back to Vance? Right?
All right. Sounds good. I just got to say, you know, of all these lights, camera, distraction stories we have in the media and the way the world's going to crap, wouldn't it be nice if people could actually recognize, understand, and live natural rights, how different the world could be. But get out, educate yourselves, learn what's going on, everybody. You know, just don't just be distracted by the news media. Go out and learn some history, understand some things, and scope the world through your eyes, you know, as plainly as you can and as simply as you can with proof and evidence. And feel in your heart the nature that's out there, too. Most importantly, now, really quickly before I jump off, I do want to say the Titans are coming. Lee Peer and myself, Lee the Mouth Peer, and the Spent One are going to be doing a new radio show very soon on Sundays, because that's the only day we can do it. And we're probably doing about a 6 o'clock Eastern time venue, maybe 7. Mm. So we could all, you know... We're not going on. We're not going to be competing with anything Chuck's doing over here on Sundays. So we'll do an earlier venue. But maybe Chuck, he and I and Lee can have a little conversation if you guys want to link up. I don't know how that's all going to work. Lee is handling the boards and everything like he does.
Right.
So, but yeah, well, that's coming up. The Titans are coming, and I love you guys. Great to be on. I will always be on here. Sometime the Spent One will be checking back in. But I love everybody. Happy birthday, Chuck. Hello, Mrs. O. Great talking to everybody. Vanarchy, everybody. Jimmy James. Captain Trips. You know, who am I missing? Oh, of course, BP.
And Chris Graves.
If I'm missing somebody else, I'm sorry. I love you guys.
All right, Spent.
Take care.
Spent Kent, everybody. And you know what? If you start doing a show at 6 o'clock, I might be able to just call in before I do Aaron's show at 10. So maybe I'll hang out with you guys a couple of times, see what's going on over there when you do it. All right. Now, that just leaves us with Chris, BP. And, well, Vance is still on the line, but... yeah.
Has he come back?
I don't know. Vance, are you with us yet? Apparently not. He's still there on the line. I guess he's, you know, he might be busy. He might be explaining something to somebody else in the bar. He loves to do that. And look, if we don't hear from Vance, I'm happy that we did hear from Vance either way. So I think we should go to Chris.
Okay.
Chris?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. And yeah, I did have a whole bunch of different interviews planned for this week and last week. And I don't know. So I keep failing on that end. But I got Robert Englund lined up, hopefully. He played Freddy Krueger. And I got Jason Mewes possibly lined up. He was with Jay and Silent Bob, that whole deal.
Nice.
So, yeah, so just keep listening, and hopefully next week turns out a lot better. And thanks for listening. And donate to Ochilli.com.
Appreciate that. And, of course, it'll be a lot of fun. I'd love to. I'll be so happy to produce if you get Jason Mewes on, for sure. I don't know if you'll do it here. You'll do the digging Chris Graves. I don't know.
No, that would be a get mad thing. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Same with Kevin too.
Oh,
but I will do it as a video thing at the same time somehow.
There you go. We could probably do all that, and I think you should. And by the way, Eric Jackman is coming on, courtesy of Chris Graves, kind of hooking us up. So that's what's happening on Monday on my show. But and I don't know. Do you have something planned for Monday? You want to tell us about, or you want to leave it?
It's either Freddy Krueger or Jay from Jay and Silent Bob at the moment.
Oh, so. One or the other. Oh, wow. Already,
yes.
Monday.
Yeah.
So, all right. Excellent. That sounds good to me. And be more than happy to hear from either one of them. And appreciate all the Get Mad shows. And I wasn't picking on you before when I said people didn't show up or whatever. That's happened to me, too.
No, you'd be real, because I wanted to have a whole... Believe me, I never want to miss a show. So, yeah, no, I didn't take offense to that.
Right. Okay. Anyways, so, B. Pete, we heard from everybody except you.
Well, I'd like to say thanks to everybody that called in tonight. We've got a good little group here that seems to beat these discussions down and look at them from, you know, various viewpoints, and that's what makes it interesting. I'd like to invite everybody back next week. If you want to call in or get a hold of Chuck through Skype and let him bring you into the conversation, the more the merrier.
Mm-hmm.
And all I can say is support Ochilli.com, support your local food banks, and come back next week. We'll hit some other topics, and we might try to delve into Jimmy James's transphobia. That might be interesting.
Oh, man, you just set him off now. I'm going to get messages. You know that, right? thanks so much for that.
It's all in fun.
Oh, okay. Anyway, I would really appreciate it if you guys kicked in this week, especially because I have to pay some pretty nasty bills in the next week or so. And, yeah, definitely this would be a good time to help out. And I'm going to try and get those hats out online as fast as possible, just waiting on the delivery. And you'll be able to support the network and get a little gift when I do that. So anyway, either way, we'll be back next week and do this again with a more full broadcasting week, if Chris and I have anything to say about it, for sure. Hopefully we'll see you on Sunday with Uncle and Aaron's shows. You know, you never know what will happen in the meantime. But Monday, there's all kinds of things in the works, as is always the case here at Ochilli.com. Remember, I am merely Ochilli. All of you are indeed the effect. Good night.